Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could join me tonight. If you were with me last night, Shelly and I and Kelly was on the line, and I introduced all of you to a gentleman by the name of Israel Kaplan, Izzy. He introduced us to the Golden Rule. He is the director and the originator of www.bullies2buddies.com. We found him to be amazing, absolutely amazing. We loved what he talked about. It's so in sync with what we believe. We did a study with he and I where we role played. And I have to tell you that when he turned the tables on me as an irate father, that was my role, even though I was immersed in the role and I got it in the beginning when he portrayed a spoiled teenage girl, I was able to play into that and be really angry with him. The minute he turned the tables and started talking to me like kind of a grown-up teenage girl, and there was a little bit of, Dad, I'm not trying to make you angry, I'm just trying to fit in kind of conversation, because the dad, me, loves his daughter, it was hard for me to be angry anymore. And if I didn't get it before that, I absolutely, positively got it now. It was wonderful. So Izzy and I spoke today, and it is our game plan that he will join the show every Wednesday evening. That way, we can have Monday and Tuesday to kind of build up to some of the questions that we get and some of the conversations that come up. And he'll talk to us on Wednesday, and you're all welcome to call in and ask questions. And then Thursday and Friday, we can contemplate what we learned from those interactions. Now, he sent me some paperwork. He sent me some of the articles that he's written. And I'm going to read one of them. It's kind of long, so I'm going to kind of like scan. But I want everybody to get the gist of where he's coming from and the way he feels about what's happening in schools. Again, this is called the Golden Rule System, the simple solution to bullying. School and anti-bullying laws require us to develop an anti-bullying policy. We are hereby presenting our anti-bullying policy that is based on the Golden Rule. We have chosen the Golden Rule as our guide because it is a universally recognized formula for a moral, harmonious society. Amen. And a policy that violates the Golden Rule is bound to be immoral and therefore result in more harm than good. The Golden Rule instructs us to treat others the way we would like to be treated, to refrain from doing to others what we would not have them do to us, and to love our fellow human beings, including those we label bullies. Anti-bullying laws require our school to guarantee that all children can attend without fear of being bullied by other children, and empower parents to sue us for failing in this mission. We are being mandated to protect children from all unwelcome behaviors such as verbal insults, especially insults based on race, religion, gender, and sexual orientation, demeaning gestures, aggressive physical actions, social exclusion, rumors, and degrading posts in cyberspace. Now, folks, we have talked about every single solitary one of those. We regret to inform you that we cannot offer you such a guarantee. The Golden Rule instructs us not to do to you what we wouldn't want others doing to us. We would not want anyone to give us false hope by making guarantees that they are impossible to fulfill. Now, we know that's true. We absolutely, positively know that's true. For this would inevitably cause us disappointment and pain. Likewise, we will not give you any false hopes by guaranteeing your children a bully-free environment. I believe in that, not to make promises that you can't keep. We do not create the children who attend. We do not screen for potential bully or victim proneness. We cannot deny admission to children who have such potential. And we do not magically acquire control over their biological drives, emotions, behavior, personalities, intelligence, and social lives once they become our students. Thus, we cannot create a place in which people are always nice to each other. It's a nice thought, but pretty much impossible. We have heard of only one place like that, and it is called heaven. Research has shown that the world's most revered anti-bullying programs have had dismal track records. They rarely result in more than a minor decrease in bullying and often cause an intensification of the problem. How can we offer you a bully-free school when the programs we are required to use don't work? Furthermore, despite the widespread concern about bullying amongst kids in school, statistics have shown that the schools are the safest place for children. There is more bullying going on among adults in the workplace. We've talked about that plenty of times as well. The most frequent and serious bullying of all takes place within the home. Sad but true. The divorce rate is at about 50%, and in most families, the kids fight on a daily basis despite all the attempts of the parents to make them stop. If you can figure out how to make your home free from bullying, please let us know how you did it, and we promise to adopt the same strategy in our school. Schools throughout the world are currently experiencing a historically unprecedented level of tension and hostility as a result of anti-bullying laws. When the school administration gets involved investigating, interrogating, judging, and punishing children for the way they treat each other, hostilities among students, parents, and school staff escalate. Whichever set of parents feels the administration is unfair to their child gets angry with the administration, is likely to complain to the school district, and may hire lawyers to sue the school or district. Rather than bringing peace to schools, anti-bullying laws are resulting in increased hostility. An anti-bullying law is a catch-22 because the very attempt to enforce the law creates an intensification of the bullying problem. Both the American Psychological Association and the National Association of School Psychologists have issued research-based position papers advising against zero-tolerance school policies for aggression, explaining the myriad of ways in which they cause more harm than good. If zero-tolerance is counterproductive for aggression, how can it be productive for bullying? Now, what I've just read is just a part of one of Izzy's reports, and it goes on to talk about the school, about punishment fitting the crime, about the moral code, et cetera, all things that, as I said before, we've all talked about. And I think most of us are in agreement with the fact that there's only so much you can do when you tell somebody to do something. In my years as a trainer in restaurants, in hotels, in cleaning, I owned my own cleaning company for a while, I found that I could say to somebody, this is what has to be done. This is the way I do it. Now, what I'd like you to do is work with this for a little while and figure out the way that is the most comfortable for you to achieve the same results that I do, because that's what we're the promise we're giving to the people that we're taking care of. But if I tell you to do it my way will never be your way. It will always be my way. So I would like for you to figure out a way that you can have the same results, but by doing what you're comfortable with. Now, in essence, Izzy is explaining that to us. When he talks about teaching all of us to treat each other the way we want to be treated. That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly the point he wants to make with all of us. If we speak to people the way we want to be spoken to, that alone, that all by itself without any other effort, would result in a much kinder, more camaraderie world. It has to. If you just do that one thing, you don't even have to go any further than that at this point in time. If you just, every time you opened your mouth to tell somebody anything, good or bad, if you said it the way you'd like to hear it, if it was being said to you, there's a big part of our problem solved right there. A big, big part. Now I'm going to bring in Shelley, who was with me last night and is as impressed by Izzy as I was. And I also have Daniel, who called me a little while ago and would like to participate a little bit in this discussion. Mm-hmm. I've told him about Izzy, and Daniel works in the school district. For those of you who have never met Daniel before, he's involved with children and with the school system. So welcome, Shelley and Danny.
Thank you.
Hey, Renee. Hey, Danny. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Hi, Shelley. How are you doing? Hi, Renee.
Hi, sweetie pie.
Yes.
Shelley, you are waiting for.
Sure. So you guys just heard what I read, and of course that's just the beginning of one of the papers that he sent to me. And I don't want to overload everybody and read so much, but I loved the beginning, the first page of this, because it kind of sums everything up very nicely. Didn't you think so?
Ladies first.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had gone on the website. I mean, I had mentioned that last night when we had Izzy on the phone. I was impressed with the website. I was impressed with how easily he goes into the role-playing mode, he really understands this very, very thoroughly. So when you present particular scenarios to him, when you put certain situations out there, he really is very spontaneous with a response and a recommendation on how to deal with it. He really does understand this more deeply than anybody else that I've ever read on the subject. And I had read bits and pieces of How to Stop Being Teased and Bullied Without Really Trying. It's an intro, and then it has actually 11 chapters that follow. And they're all short. They're like 2 or 3 page chapters, like on 8.5 by 11 size paper. And I was very impressed with the simplicity, but the completeness. Because what he does in each segment is he makes a claim. And I like the way he does it. It's very well put together. He makes a claim, he gives you an example, and then he proves it to you, and then he challenges you to try it verbatim. And in each one of them, like Know Why You're Teased is one of the chapters, Change Your Attitude, How to Handle Rumors, How to Handle Physical Bullying, and things like that. And he goes on, and each chapter then takes it to the next step. But it's very well put together. I highly, highly recommend that anybody who wants to understand more about this and understand more about the solution, go to the website, pull up the different free manuals that are there, and this is the one called How to Stop Being Teased and Bullied Without Really Trying. It's quite a remarkable document.
Wow.
And it's very short, so it's very easy to read through it.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by everything. Go ahead, Danny.
Well, briefly, real quick, I'd like to comment on that as well. You know, Renee, you just introduced me this a few minutes ago before you started your show to the website. And likewise, Shelley, I agree, piggyback on what you said. I like the correlation and the way that, you know, not only does he give you the information, give parents and community activists and just the public in general the information, he also allows you to be trained in this. And it's actually on the What We Do menu link, and you actually have the ability to be trained in these different areas and become a counselor if you wish. And I think that's awesome. I think that from looking at the site, It also it allows you to apply what you are reading, what you can visually see, and actually go through the training, which is I would recommend doing. I think I'm going to do. But I also wanted to say, you know, speaking about anti-bullying policies, Rini, interesting fact, Broward County Schools on July 22nd of 2008, Broward County Schools was the first school district in the state of Florida to pass the anti-bullying policy. And you know that because of the bullying summit, the anti-violence summit we had. And a matter of fact, the Florida Department of Education used our passing of this anti-bullying policy as a model for the rest of the state in December of 2008. The Florida legislature passed House Bill 669, which actually mandated that all districts create one in the state of Florida. And, you know, there are some, like you read about, are they doing what they're supposed to do? Is the hostility really there? You know, I can say we've been very successful in our district here in Broward County with what policies have been implemented. And I have to say that, you know, I'm kind of proud to be in the district that actually was the first one in the state of Florida to pass this. So, you know, I don't, you know, regardless of feeling, I think that we've taken steps because parents and the community, we also were involved in creating the policy. We shaped it, like you said. Not everyone, what works for you doesn't work for everyone. So what we recommended to the state was that the district don't just copy ours or mandate ours, that they create, each district create their own based off their population and the circumstances in their own district. So, you know, we were very fortunate enough to have Safe Schools, Healthy Students. It was a grant initiative. Assist us in that, Project Safe Schools, and the Student Support Services. So I think that's very important. But I just wanted to give that interesting fact that Broward County Schools was actually the first school in the state of Florida to implement and be recommended by the Florida legislature to pass this in every school district in the state of Florida. So I want to throw that out there.
Okay, sure. But now I want to discuss this with you. The whole point that Izzy is making with us is the fact that they're getting too carried away with rules and regulations, not because they're trying to do something wrong, Danny, but because they've been mandated to come up with solutions. So very often, when something is so simple, we can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
That it's the answers are right in a very simple, simple place called being nicer to one another. And like I said before I brought you and Shell in, before you say something to somebody, say, let's take a scenario. You're out on the basketball court and you're kind of you're the substitute this afternoon, and there's an after-school basketball game, and you know most of the kids, but you don't know them real good, and they're all playing, and you see a couple kids, somebody kicks the ball out of the other kid's hand, and he pushes them. Then the other kid pushes them back, right? So you go running over, and you stand between them, and you say, you know, what's going on?
Exactly.
And Izzy's way is that whoever is the most antagonized, There has to be some observance on your part. You have to look and assess what's going on. And then you, in a scenario like that, would have to initiate making them friends. And not by saying, like we saw in the movie Bully, okay, you guys shake hands. They're too mad at each other.
Of course.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've brought employees in my office, and the end result is they hug. But if I'd have walked them in the office and said, okay, you guys hug and let's knock this off, they would have looked at me like I was out of my tree, right? So, but at the end, at the end of a good conversation where everybody treats each other with respect and you talk to the other person the way you're hoping they're going to talk to you,
right.
You can hug before you walk out.
Of course,
right.
Of course. Now,
right.
Rita, let me strictly clarify what our policy recommends, and it's more of a preventative measures. It's more of those. You know, we focus on the appropriate behavior. So, like you said, where you may have two students with the ball. It would be explained to them that was not appropriate that you hit the ball, and then they also throw in more. It's more of a curriculum for us. You know, when we say zero tolerance in our school system, it means that, hey, you know, you just bullied that kid. You're thrown out of school. No. That's why there was discussion on what policy or how this mandate was supposed to be implemented. You know, and it's more for us. We focus on the variety of prevention and intervention activities. We promote and create the environment of safety and respect, and we expect them to have appropriate behavior, and we teach them about that. So it's not more per se, hey, you bullied this child. I just want to clarify what our policy is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they do look at that. You know, they do that. They do the investigation type, but you know, it's per circumstance, but or happening of the bullying. But it's more of, hey, how can we get these kids to not do this? How can we before they get to that, I'm going to throw that ball down to the other child. What's happening with them versus that child? The other, you know, person involved.
Okay,
so,
but now you're talking about long-term therapy. When you get to that point.
No.
I want to clarify.
Go on. I just wanted to clarify.
Somebody else got on the phone. Okay.
Oh,
now let me say this. When you start thinking about afterwards, then that's fine. And you should be, if you take what you do seriously, which is tutor and monitor and look after kids in a school, that's the way I'd expect you to think. But what we're talking about here, again, is much simpler than that. Much, much simpler than that.
Okay.
Last night, when he had us do a therapy, I was the dad. He was the teenage daughter on the second one. The first one, I was the teenage daughter, and he was the dad. And we had a fight, and he didn't want me to go anywhere and all this kind of stuff. And then while I was playing the dad, I really got into it. And I got really, really angry because he wouldn't let me dress like everybody else. And you know, and we really, really got into it. And I said, the dad, I said, you know, you look like a slut. And she said to me, but Dad, I know guys, and I'm not doing anything wrong, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. And I said, but you don't think like a man. So then when he turned it around and played the daughter who was being very, she didn't argue, she didn't whine, she said, Daddy, I'm glad you care so much about me because I have a lot of friends whose dad don't care what they do. So, you know, and I want you to know that I appreciate what you're saying to me and you don't have anything to worry about. And then he said to me, Izzy says to me, now are you still angry with me? And I said, no, it's even hard for me to think of something to say.
Exactly.
Because because then all of a sudden I saw the child that I love, and I saw that I had done something right because she was at least understanding where I was coming from, which is respectful. So all the words that we talk about on this show is what he puts into action. So now in the schoolyard, when you stop something like that, now obviously you can't go into detail and you can't tell them, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. But what you can do is you can take them off of the ball field, and you can walk over, and you can say, now, look, you guys should be friends. You play on this team together, and you're doing this.
Correct.
But he wants the kids to work through this themselves. That's what he's striving for. And that's what will grow us socially. That's what will really end up stopping the bullying in its tracks, because now they've all been empowered.
Correct. And, you know, they've been empowered, and then when they get to adulthood, it would not happen in their workplace.
Right.
So,
hopefully not.
Sure.
Hopefully not. But, I mean, you still have to contend with other people who didn't do this.
Well, of course. But at least they would be given the tools, and they would have been able to. Yeah, sure. I gotcha.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like I said before, I think so many people are not going to get this because it just seems so simple when it's been so traumatic. You know, people are going to say, but what about this? And, you know, and you can't let them do this, and you can't let them do that. I'm telling you, in 10 minutes last night, with him and I talking to each other, I just so got it. It's my game plan to when we do this event that we're trying to pull together.
Right.
That we're going to show a skit and let some teenagers do that with each other and actually show the difference between being respectful and understanding of a parent or a teacher or another friend versus wanting to be, you know, on the defensive.
Right. Well, you mean correct. But, you know, I think it's also important that the parents also learn the youth culture, not saying they're not supposed to be a parent and give those guidelines to their children. But I think that many parents are not in touch with what's going on today. So I think that maybe we need to do a flip with that as well. Maybe do a skit for the parents with parents.
Well, what Izzy does is he offers classes to parents and to kids. He has pamphlets.
Great.
He has all kinds of reading material. But I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, and it didn't take that long last night for me to get it. Like, and I got it before, you understand? I mean, I get that we have to be nice to each other, and I get that that's what it's all about. But when we did what we did together last night, I was like, oh, my God.
I felt
the difference. I felt the difference in my own soul.
Izzy, if you're listening, I tell you, that's very hard to know. Rini's the perfect advocate for this, and, you know, but I just want to, you know. But, Rini, I understand what you're saying. It's an eye-opener, even for you. And I wish I could have called in yesterday. I wish I will do that more often. I just wanted to give you that information. I'm interested in learning about this more, and I encourage your listeners to do the same. I'm going to run. But,
okay.
Shelly, it's always a pleasure.
Same here, Danny. I always enjoy when you call in.
Oh, I always like hearing your voice, too. Rini, thank you so much. Heart to heart.
You're welcome, sweetie pie. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. So, as I said, and I know you are in tune with this, Shelly, completely. Today, when we talked, and this afternoon when I read some more of the articles that he sent to me and everything, it just becomes more and more clear to me, everything I read. Even things that we've talked about, now I see it even, I don't know, I guess with more insight. You know,
well, you know,
I just...
A lot of the things that he talks about in his articles, because I had mentioned to you a couple of times on the show already that I recognized times when I was in school and when I was at job that people were attempting to bully me or attempting to be mean or insulting or whatever, and I just chose not to respond to it, you know? And instinctually, I was doing what he talks about. So when I read these, I'm like, I already know it works, because it's exactly what I did from an instinctual level, and that's one of the reasons I wasn't bullied or mistreated. I mean, I saw people trying to do it to me, but I just never responded to it. So they never got the reaction they were looking for. They never got the hurt feelings. They never got
got the anger. They never got me screaming back at them or looking at the ground or acting like I was downtrodden.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It was the beginning and the end. It never went anywhere because they didn't get what they were looking for, so it completely diffused them. And I guess they either moved on to somebody else or just let it go. But, you know, but that's why it never happened to me. So when I read these techniques that he's talking about, I know 100% that they will work. And even in extremely volatile, they're probably better in more volatile situations. How many times have you seen in the news, and there's been so many movies about this, okay, where somebody, and it's usually domestic violence, usually these movies and these stories were about a woman who was being battered, and
right.
She went to the authorities, and they issued a protective order, and after the protective order was issued, the man became even more violent. It didn't calm him down. It didn't make him not. It made him want to hurt her
incited
even more.
Him. Yes, yes.
You know, so that's sort of like, well, I understand what Danny's saying, that Broward County, I mean, because the county felt they had to do something,
yes.
So they're mandating laws. And I understand that Danny has a sense of pride about that, and of course the county's
mm-hmm.
trying to do something. Izzy's
mm-hmm.
point is that you can't pass laws that are going to make this okay. You have to change people's attitude towards what's happening.
That's
because
right.
the laws aren't going to help. In some cases, passing the laws or making mandates or getting people in trouble, so to speak, makes it worse because now they're even more angry with you. And we heard that in the one story that mother wrote the other night, where
mm-hmm.
every time she went to the school, it made things worse for her son, not
yep.
better. Every time she went to try to make it better, it made it worse because now they picked on him even more. Oh, you got us in trouble, and you think now we're going to leave you alone? And now they got more people picking on him. So a lot
mm-hmm.
of times, having these laws put in place or these consequences put in place make the situation worse on the victim because
that's
they
right.
anger the bully. Even the bully's already angry, or they wouldn't be acting out that way. And now you've just got them in trouble. Certainly not going to calm
yep.
them down. Where Izzy's approach takes you know, it
turns the anger around. Yes.
It turns the anger around, right. It reverses
yeah.
the anger.
Mm-hmm.
It takes it off the plate. You know, it teaches the victim how to not be a victim, how to change their attitude and be able to basically not put themselves in victim mode and not kind of draw that attention to themselves anymore
mm-hmm.
because of the way
mm-hmm.
they respond. You know, like
mm-hmm.
you said, if somebody's being mean to you and you either get mean back or you get sad or you get frustrated or you get angry or you act out or whatever, they feed off of that. It
mm-hmm.
actually, they actually do it. They enjoy it. They have fun with it. It was one of the articles.
That's right.
That
it's one of the reasons that they're involved in that kind of behavior to begin with. Absolutely.
Right, because they
we have another caller that wants to talk. I'm going to bring them in. I don't want to lose anybody. Hi,
sure.
This is Renee.
Hey, Renee. This is Malachi, and I'm here with my
Malachi, how are you, my dear?
we're doing great. We're all here. It's Cassidy, Michael, and Gio. We're all here,
okay.
And we talk to you guys.
Well, I'd like you to invite everybody formally to the service that you're doing on Sunday. Tell everybody the church that you're affiliated and all your information, and we'll all listen quietly.
Okay. We're all from Grace Fellowship on Okeechobee, and we're having a service on March 30th and March 31st. The one on March 30th is at 6 p.m., and then on March 31st, it's at 9:30 and 11:15. And we'd love everyone to come. Everyone's welcome. It's a church of all nations, and it's going to be a great time.
Well, it sounds beautiful. What's the average age of all you kids that I met today?
We range from 15 to 17.
Uh-huh. Well, I for one, am very proud of all of you. Very, very proud of all of you. And you were all so sweet today. And we all ran into each other today in Walmart, the place to meet and greet people, you all know. And and these kids were just lovely, adorable. And I was so pleased that that they are taking a task like this and pulling people together at a very beautiful time of the year. Easter is a very, very beautiful time, and I think what you're doing is great. And I, as I said, I'm very proud of all of you. Whenever you're going to do anything affiliated with this or any kind of group things with kids or anything, my show is trying to get everybody into a better place, a little bit more kindness, a little bit more forgiveness. And one of the things that we're working on a lot is trying to do something about all the bullying and the mistreatment of each other that people seem to believe that it's just a way of life and you're supposed to just go with the flow. Well, we don't think you should. We don't think anybody should be abused or mistreated or talked badly to. And if I'm going to complain about it, I figured I should get my butt out there and do something about it. So that's what we're doing. So you are always welcome to call in. Any of the kids in your congregation, if they'd like to call in and say anything or talk to me or tell me something that happened that changed their lives so that I can share it with other people, because you never know who's out there listening who could be in a really, really rough spot. And you may say something that changes their whole life, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're planning on.
Yeah, I thought you might be. So lots and lots of good luck and lots of love to all of you. And as I said, you can call me anytime. I'm on Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 o'clock. And if you need to talk with me privately or would like to share something with me, you're always welcome to do that. You call and we'll make arrangements to talk privately. Okay?
Yeah, thank you so much. But
you are so welcome, darling. Yes. Reenie. My name is Reenie.
Reenie, sorry.
That's all right.
So, when we were at Walmart, we forgot to ask you one last thing, and that was we really believe in the power of prayer, and we would just love to ask you and love to pray for you. Just anything you need, you're struggling with at all, we'd love to pray for you, like, right now.
Okay. In that case, I will give you something that would mean an awful, awful lot to me. I have a couple people in my family that are struggling with chemical dependency, and we've done all kinds of things, and they're still struggling, and I know because you're teenagers, you get that. So you can say a prayer for them. That would be beautiful. And, of course, for me, it's about all of us. You know, I want all of us to be in a good place. I want everybody to get what they need from life and have fulfillment and love and happiness and respect, because that's what we're all supposed to have, each and every one of us. But saying a prayer for me and mine is always appreciated and accepted with all kinds of love and appreciation.
Would you mind if we did it on the phone right now?
No, it'd be all right with me. That would be fine.
Awesome. All right, well, Cassie's going to take hold of you, and she's going to pray for you, and we're all going to be here. And here she is.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Miss Reenie. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this opportunity to talk to Miss Reenie and letting your spirit be on us at Walmart today. Jesus, please be with Miss Reenie and her family and whatever they're going through in their problems with addiction or anything like that, Jesus. I just ask you to watch over them and be with them and protect them as they get older and they make decisions in their life. I pray that they make the right ones and they're towards you, Father. I pray over Miss Renee, Miss Rainey, that her show goes well and that people will stop being so mean to each other, that what she's saying will be true to people, and everything that she's doing, people understand and change the way they act because of the radio show, Father. Thank you so much. This is glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
That was beautiful. You are very, very welcome. Like I said, call anytime. It's always... I can see all your faces right now in my mind's eye. You'll always be welcome to call me.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Best of luck, kids.
All right. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, they were
How
great.
How sweet is that? How sweet
I
is
know.
That?
That is great. I can't believe that they're between 15 and 17. He sounds like he's 35.
Well, and, you know, it was so cute because they were all standing in a cluster, and I was trying to get to the Jell-O because I'm making trifle on Sunday. And I said, kids, could you excuse me so I can sneak in here? And then they helped me find the strawberry because we couldn't find the strawberry. And I was laughing about it, you know, and I said, I'm making trifle, so everything has to match, you know, and they all laughed.
Oh, geez.
And Malachi and Cassidy said, to, you know, introduce themselves to me and invited me to come to their, you know, their church on Sunday for Easter celebration. And I introduced myself and told them that they could call the show and talk about what they were doing on Sunday, that I would love to have them put that out there. You never know. There might be somebody out there who's just waiting for somebody to say that to them. And they were adorable.
What's so great about that is that they're saying the age range is 15 to 17. And, you know, like we were talking about, and we've mentioned this before, but it's healthy to hear good news. You hear so much about kids in the news and about the different ethnic groups in the news and stuff like that. And it's like, and then, and this is the type of stuff that uplifts you when you realize that there's this group of these kids, 15 to 17 years old, and they're very spiritual, and they're very loving, and they wanted to say a prayer for you. You know, it doesn't matter what religious background they have or what religious belief they have. A prayer is a prayer. It doesn't
That's
matter
right.
what religious brand, for lack of a better way of saying it. It doesn't matter what religious foundation it's coming from. A prayer is a prayer. And when somebody has good intentions towards you, it uplifts you and it uplifts them. So
absolutely.
It was just a very sweet thing for them to do, and I applaud them for being so young and already having that inspiration to make a difference. That's
me
wonderful.
Too. Me too. I thought they were they made me smile the whole rest of the way through Walmart, and that's no easy feat. I thought to myself, isn't that great? Nice group of kids. They reminded me of the kids that I've talked about before on the show that were doing the special classes to teach the difference of different ethnicities and different lifestyles and everything. That's who they all reminded me of. And they were just, they're so, I don't know, just so warm and friendly. And it was a real pleasure. Meeting them today, and I'm so glad they called. When it got later, I was afraid that they weren't going to call, so I'm really happy that they did. So, and again, you know, when that can happen, Shell, like I said, every day we get a little bit closer, and get a little bit more within, you know, that faded light that's way there at the end of the tunnel, and I feel like, you know, maybe we are making a difference.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that we're making a difference. You know, we're putting very good information out there. We're opening up conversations, and even the people that don't click in to talk, they hear us banter back and forth. They hear some of the special guests that call in to talk, and there's a tremendous amount of very good information and advice going out there. And then because of your research, because you're constantly looking for like-minded people and people that are also trying to contribute, now you're pulling in all this, like, really expert information. The fact that you found, Bullies to Buddies website and some of the statistics you found and stuff like that. So you're absolutely making a difference. Izzy Kaufman's site is absolutely making a difference. All the work that Daniel's doing is definitely making a difference. And the nice part about that is that it's like each person that's putting an effort out is complementing and expanding the work of the other people.
That's
Because
that's what makes the world perfect, doesn't it?
Remember when
that's
you were
what makes
to Izzy
the world
last,
so perfect.
That is. When you were talking to Izzy last night, you've gotten calls from people that he never got. So here's an element
where you have
a certain level. You have a background, as extensive as his background is, you have a level of interaction with people that can now add to his information.
Right.
So,
I told him today when we talked, because he told me he runs into a lot of brick walls. And I said, because you're soliciting people, and I just opened up the doors, and people are coming to me. I'm not, you know, I'm not going out and addressing them, and it does make a difference. Then you know that they want the attention that you're giving to them, and that does make a different kind of reception, you know. So, but he said to me today, he said, I would love to be on the show if you would be okay with that. I said, oh, Shelley and I talked about it 5 minutes after we got off the phone last night. And we would love that as well. I think it would make a big difference. And I think, you know, what you have to say is very, very important. And if we all say it together, it just means more and more and more.
That's right. Exactly.
So, I'm pleased with all of it. Now, the only thing that I did want to bring up tonight, I'm running into a brick wall over here at the park because there are no numbers. The website says nothing. It just shows a picture of the park. So I guess I'm going to have to go to the Chamber of Commerce over here and find out about Community Park because the number that I called was for a football team, and I asked him if he knew anything, if he would call me back. And, of course, I really am not up for a football game. I think we know that.
Well, I can help with that a little bit tomorrow. You and I were going to talk earlier. We're going to be meeting in the morning anyway.
Right.
I can try to do a little research on this for us tomorrow. But, yeah, the Chamber of Commerce is definitely a good place to go. You know, you tell them what your intentions are. In fact, that was one of the things on the agenda that I'm going to print out and bring to breakfast tomorrow is to contact the Chamber of Commerce because a lot of times they can tell you what venues are available specifically for these types of events, like when you have fundraisers for medical or you have fundraisers for particular types of community-oriented activities with a cause behind it. They look at that differently than just an event because it's 4th of July and you want to set off fireworks. Okay.
When
you're doing an event that has a cause behind it, they look at those differently and you get different type of backing. So that's
And I mean, you know, I considered checking out one of the local pubs or something like that because they're always wanting to do stuff and because it's good for their business and everything. But I feel like that's not appropriate.
You want to have an outdoorsy type of venue where you can have people with booths and that kind of thing. So
And all kinds of kids without me having to worry about anything like that. And so, because I know there are some places that I could do that, but I kind of vetoed that just in case anybody's listening and is going to call me and say something along those lines. I really don't think that's what I want to do.
Right. Well, just a straightforward fundraiser for something, then you can do a venue like that. If you're not going to be having lecturers and people with booths and stuff, just a straightforward, and then you can make a fun night out of it, you know.
Yeah.
They can pay a little extra for the drinks, and $2 on every drink goes to the fundraiser or something. So then you can look at a pub, because then you can make a fun night out of it and turn it into something, you know, that just to raise money. But the event that you're trying to create here is an event to get people out, to educate them more about this topic, to be able to give them information about it and basically get the community to realize that there is a situation here that needs attention, but that there's also a solution and kind of offer, you know, make them aware of the problem and then start putting some of the solutions out there so that people realize it's not hopeless, but it is something that requires attention. People have to even be aware that this problem exists, and that's
right.
going to make it eventually go away.
Yep, that's exactly the way I think too, and I think that like we talked early on, and if anybody has any ideas, Shelley and I are always open to suggestions, but I'm imagining some people from all different walks of things that increase people's wellness, their health. Shelley and I know a lot of people involved in that arena. And, of course, people like Gary Leifer, who will come to us from New Mexico and talk to us about the Bully movie and talk to us about some of the things that happened with the kids involved in the Bully movie and their parents. And but there's – I also have an organization that raises dogs who take the dogs to hospitals and to senior citizen homes and actually – it's been proven, actually increase the longevity of people who are ill just having these very beautiful, well-behaved animals there mm-hmm. for everybody to pet and love up on a little bit. So, and we have Nancy from the Good Earth Farms who does a wonderful job in her magical ponies and all the things that she does mm-hmm. to help kids. I think there's a lot of interesting people in this area that could do some things that will make a difference, and I'd like to include all of them. Yeah.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think it would be a meaningful day, a very eventful day, and it would make some differences. So
I absolutely
if anybody,
agree with it. I'm excited about it. I'm really
me
excited
too.
About it.
Me too. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I think everybody will be once it starts to come together. I think it'll be great. So our minds are open. If you have ideas and you'd like to share some of them with us, I believe in always having your arms open, because if you walk around with your arms crossed all the time, you never know what you're going to miss. And
right.
It's a big part of life to have an open mind and an open heart. So I do believe that there might be some people out there who've been thinking about doing something along these lines, and they think they're too small or don't know how to go about it. They can join forces with us, and we can make this one of the most awesome events that West Palm Beach has ever seen. And and I don't see any reason why we can't, right? I don't see any reason why we can't.
Yeah,
so
since
we have
incredible.
A couple extra minutes left, I want to real quick, I didn't think I'd have time tonight, so I didn't read a whole lot more of it, but there was this section, a moral code of rules and punishments. I wanted to read this. Our school will strive to establish a disciplinary code of rules and punishments that is truly moral. Otherwise, we will be causing more harm than good and raising children who are immoral. This code will be an evolving document that we are hopeful will improve over time as we grow in wisdom and experience. Now, wouldn't it be nice if that little paragraph right there was written into our judicial system? Right there. That
right.
one little thing, the fact this code will be an evolving document that we are hopeful will improve over time as we grow in wisdom and experience. Amen. The golden
Absolutely.
Rule will be our guide in establishing rules and punishment. We cannot treat all negative behaviors as punishable offenses, or the school
mm-hmm.
staff will be constantly involved in trying and punishing children while simultaneously escalating hostilities and preventing them from learning how to deal with such behaviors on their own. That's another amazing sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, a legalistic process will hinder the development of children's moral development, for they are likely to try to justify, now listen to this, for they are likely to try to justify their negative behavior and to blame the other side to avoid punishment rather than feeling remorseful for their harm they may have caused. How many times have you seen that happen?
Absolutely.
A million?
It happens all the time.
As adults, we often do things that others experience as negative, and we wouldn't want to stand trial every time we do so. And, I mean, amen. I mean, just think about that. If everything
right.
we did was under such scrutiny, let's face it, we'd all be getting three squares and a cot.
That's right. It's true.
Isn't it true?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of what he's trying to say can't happen in the schools. Because the school is a child's first social adventure.
Right, right.
And if we don't teach them how to be socially adapt and skilled at their social technique, then we're bringing in a whole bunch of misfits.
That's right. And that's kind of where we are now. We talked about that the other night. There's more immature people adults today than ever before in history.
Yeah, yep. So, okay. We will use a formula derived from the Golden Rule for determining what behaviors will be punishable offenses and which will not. The formula is, would I be willing to be punished for doing that behavior to you if you are willing to be punished for doing it to me?
Wow.
If the great majority of rational people would answer yes, then that behavior will be deemed a punishable offense. If they would answer no, it will not.
Wow.
Now that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just so simple. It's what we all, I mean most of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but the majority of people I know were raised to not hurt other people, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you,
mm-hmm.
to respect your mother and father, to respect your elders, to respect the teacher, to, you know, if you come from a Jewish family, to respect the synagogue and all the belief. Of course, me, I've always had tremendous respect for Jewish people, especially Orthodox Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
their commitment to what they believe has always blown me away. Or if
yes.
you're raised a Catholic, having faith and believing in the church and respecting the Pope and everything that goes with it, and having some empathy when he is faced with dilemmas of dealing with people who, albeit have taken on the robes of Catholicism, are still human and have made mistakes. All of those things, I think, we all get a taste of in most cases. Probably not everybody, but most of us. And what
mm-hmm.
he's asking us to do is just to go back to those simple rules.
That's right.
It's just so, and the problem is because we're so analytical, if it seems too easy, we think it won't work.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things in the, I had read the True Meaning of the Golden Rule, Love Your Bullies.
Mm-hmm.
This was an article he had written for Psychology Today, and I read it yesterday. I was very impressed with it. This, again, the simplicity of the message.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things he said is that 2,400, yeah, because he's saying that this is all ancient information he's bringing up. This isn't anything
yeah.
new. This has been around for thousands of years. 2,400 years ago, Aristotle made a logical proof that the best way to live our lives is by applying the Golden Rule. He explained
mm-hmm.
that if everybody lived by the Golden Rule, we wouldn't need government. We would all get along nicely without any human authority over us. According
yeah.
to Mortimer Adler in the book Aristotle for Everyone, he said 2,000 years ago, the Jewish – I love this line. Listen to this. 2,000 years ago, the Jewish sage Hillel, when asked to explain the Torah, which is the Jewish body of rules for
right.
life based on the Bible, and while he was standing on one leg, I don't know why that's significant, but that's what it says here, while standing on one leg, said, whatever is hateful to yourself, do not do to others. All the rest is commentary. So
wow.
that was his entire explanation of the value of the Torah, was that one thing, which is the Golden Rule, what is ever hateful to yourself, do not do it to others. All the rest
mm-hmm.
is commentary. And,
yes.
I mean, think about how simple that is.
And that, well, that's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right there. And
you know?
Again, like I said, it's just so simple that people will fear it almost. You know, they will
yeah.
almost think, you know, what is this, a cult or something? Are you going to brainwash me? Are you going to, you know, because that's what happens all the time, and that's what we read about, and that's what's, of course, the media. We talked about this the other night, and I made a note for myself when we talked about, remember when we were talking about heroes? Who do we have
mm-hmm.
that are our heroes today? And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wrote a note to myself, well, because of the media, nobody is untouchable. Nobody.
Right, right.
And if we went back to way, let's say 100 years ago, I'm sure everybody was doing all the same things that they are doing today, but there was no newspaper and no Twitter and no Facebook and none of the above.
Yeah,
so,
even the most beautiful people above us get ripped apart in the media. They go out for the sensationalistic stories and the and that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, if you've got somebody out there that's doing really wonderful things, why look for mistakes they've made? Everybody makes mistakes, even the most beautiful
Amen.
People among us.
That's
but it
right.
doesn't detract from the good they're doing.
That's right. Let me say goodnight because the show's over. I want to thank everybody, including my lovely new friends from the local Grace Fellowship, and my friend Danny, and of course my cohort in crime, Miss Shelley. And I want to thank everybody. I love you all. God bless. And from my heart to yours, I will talk to you Monday evening. Good night, everybody. Really? Good night, Miss Shelley.
Good night, Renee. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, sweetie.
Good night.